day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John. Last week we started studying this book and we did a small outline of some of the important points that the Apostle John touches on this book, and it's a very important book, and especially for these days that we live in. And I know I said that about the study that we have in 1 Timothy, and it's true of every book. But there's some books that are particularly give us specific insight that is very important. And one of the things that we see then that John emphasizes a lot is in God's love, in God's redemptive power. And we know that this study is going to be a blessing, not only to you, but also to us that are engaged in it. We invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you have access to be able to listen to all of the podcasts. You can also download the app either on iTunes or on Google Play, or you can subscribe to our podcast directly from iTunes. We also post up our show each and every week on our Facebook page, as well as on Twitter, so you can go ahead and catch it on there as well. We have many different mediums available so that you can be able to hear it at your convenience. You can also contact us at 305-320-7727. It's always a wonderful blessing to hear from our listeners and to receive your prayer requests. So we invite you to contact us, tell us where you're listening from, and we hope that this broadcast is a blessing for you. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, we thank you for another day to be able to serve you, another day to be able to fellowship with you, and another day to be able to hear your words. Father God, tonight we pray for your listeners, Lord, for the body, your body, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, that you will open up their ears to be receptive to your word, Father. We speak transformation, Father, in their lives, Lord. And we pray, Father, that anything, any mountain that the devil has tried to place in their way, Father, that you tonight will open it, Father, in Jesus' name, and give them favor, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. And safe in such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Wherever he may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever waketh, his sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. I will walk with him. I will walk with him. Yes, I will walk with him. I will walk. Pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be over me, where the dark clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure, my path to life is free. My Savior is my treasure, and He will walk with me. He will walk. He will walk with me. He will walk with me. Yes, He will walk with me. With me.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to His name. Tonight we continue on our study on 1 John. Last week we left off in verse 4, and we invite you to listen to that broadcast if you haven't, because we speak a little bit of the outline of the different things, the different reasons why John writes this epistle. In fact, one of the things that I like about John is that John is very straightforward as to what he wants you to know, and we see that in the Gospel of John. He tells us towards the end of the book that he writes this so that we may believe. And it's very similar in the book of 1 John. We see that in many places he tells us directly, I write you because. We saw that in verse 4. He says, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And I think it's a very important book in these last days because John is a very special apostle in the sense that he was able to witness specific things where few were able to see. And I don't say that anybody else, because we see that Daniel also received some apocalyptic revelations as well. But John was also very special in that he walked with Jesus. He experienced being with the Master. He was there. He saw him. He heard him. He witnessed him doing miracles. He witnessed him giving his life at the cross. He was a witness of his resurrection. And not only was he a witness of his resurrection, not only was he a witness of Jesus' ascension to heaven, but he also got a glimpse as to what was happening in heaven and what was going to happen in the future. He was transported in time, in the spirit, the Bible says, into the specific point of time where the prophecies of God all culminate when Jesus Christ comes to establish his kingdom on the earth. And he saw all these things, and this is the apostle that writes to us. And that's why We can take joy in what he's telling us because he was able to see everything. He experienced Jesus and he was able to be a witness of how Jesus Christ at the end wins. Because one of the things, brothers and sisters, that we're seeing in this world is that it appears that evil is winning. It appears that evil is overcoming good. And one of the things that Jesus says that in the last days, the iniquity would be so much that people would lose heart. They would lose faith. Their love would dissipate. And that's why it's important for us to read these books and see what these men saw, so that they may encourage us to remember that our faith is built upon substance. And that is, in fact, what we saw last week, that John starts this book talking about our hands have handled, that which have we have seen with our own eyes, we have looked upon, and our own hands have handled the word of life. They were a witness unto the reality of the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why this book is so important in these last days, because there's so much hopelessness. We need to go into a place in the scriptures where we receive that will build up our faith to remember that our God wins, that God is God, and he will fulfill the promises which he has given us. So tonight we start in verse 5, and the scripture says in verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." One of the first things right off the back of this verse, and then something that we also discuss when we look into the book of Timothy, he says, "This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." So what is John saying? John is saying, this is not something that we are conceived. This is not something that we've invented. This is not something that the apostles gathered together and we said, we had a meeting and we decided that these are the things that we're going to write unto the churches. No, he says, this is what we've heard from him. From who? From Jesus. This message that we're receiving here in the book of 1 John is a message that was received from Jesus. When Jesus appears to John, the apostle, in the book of Revelations, he tells us, write these things that you have seen. Jesus is the one that's in control, and this message is directly coming from the King. And we see that John here is not manipulating this message. He's not trying to make it palatable. We're going to see that though this book talks and shows us very deep things regarding the love of God, it also shows us the importance of overcoming sin. He doesn't sugarcoat it. John the Apostle is the apostle that probably shows and writes in his scriptures about grace. He conveys grace in most of his epistles. And though he touches upon grace, he does not go easy on sin. And we're going to see some very important things as we read the book of 1 John on the things that he says about sin. So this is not a watered down message. And this is so important, brothers and sisters, because we live in a day and time where we as Christians feel like we have to be careful that we hurt other people's feelings with the truth, that some people can't handle the truth, and that if we tell them, if we tell them what the scripture says, that we're going to offend them, and we're more afraid of offending people than we are about telling them the truth. And when we do that, we're diluting the message. We're not being faithful to delivering the message that God has given us, because after all, we're messengers. That's what we are. What does a messenger do? A messenger receives that message which he receives. The messenger gives the message just as he received it. It is not to be altered. It is not to be modified. It is to be given exactly as it is received. So he says, "This is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." So the very first thing he says, "We declare unto you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness." There's some wonderful properties about light. I've never personally seen God. All I can do is believe what the scripture says, and God chooses to show us that he is light. And that's, there's wonderful things that we can learn from that. In fact, one of the things we see automatically from creation is that without light, there is no life. There is no life. There is no plants that can grow without the sun. If you look at the way that plants work, they receive this light, and from the light, they're able to receive nourishment. They're able to grow. They're able to create food through the process of photosynthesis. And I believe that that God has allowed that to be as a metaphor to our necessity of him, that without him, we have no ability to exist. We have no ability to be alive. In fact, one of the things that the scripture says about Jesus is that he is the light of men. And what I believe that means is that he is the source of life of every single individual. Every single individual that is alive because Jesus has allowed that person to come forth. There's also an aspect of light that also has properties of healing. If you go out in the sun and there's properties of light there that kill germs. That's why sometimes you look in hospitals and they're very highly lit, because there's an aspect of light that kills impurity, that kills germs and microbes. And it also speaks about his sanctity, his holiness, the brightness and glory of who he is. In fact, we look in the Old Testament and we see that whenever Jesus appears, in his transfiguration, the apostles tell us that he was radiant with light. His clothes was brilliant. It was full of light. And this is a wonderful characteristic of who God is. And he says, and in him is no darkness at all. There is no darkness at all. And I don't think this is so much as making a contrast between light and darkness, but rather that there is absolutely nothing that is impure about God. God is truth. God is genuine. God is straightforward. And in fact, the next verse it says, if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What does it mean to walk in darkness? Well, if you're walking in darkness, that means you're not walking in fellowship with God, because if you're with God, then you're in the light. You're in his presence. You're walking closely to him. And one of the things that the light does is that it brings revelation. It reveals. If you're in a dark room and you turn on the light, suddenly now you're able to see all the details about yourself that you're not able to see in the darkness. You're able to see the stains on your clothes. You're able to see if your hands are dirty. And that's one of the things that we see about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that when he comes to convict of sin, and he does so by revealing to our hearts that we've sinned against God, that there's something wrong with us. And we cannot say that we have fellowship with God and be living in sin. I believe he's also speaking, when a person walks in darkness, about hypocrisy. And I think, brothers and sisters, we as Christians don't understand the severity. Well, not all Christians. I may have said that as too much of a general statement, but many Christians don't realize the severity of hypocrisy. In fact, when we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see that hypocrisy was the number one thing that he had the greatest clash in, which was the hypocrisy in the Pharisees. And we see how Jesus was very outspoken about that. I believe that God expects us to walk and be genuine, and not to put up a front of something that we're not. I think that's very prevalent today, especially in churches that tend to be more on the legalistic side, where people are constantly judging and condemning one another and afraid to face the truth. There's a lot of hypocrisy. But we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, from this, because a person that is walking in hypocrisy is walking in darkness, because they're not truly walking as they are. And I think this is especially important for us as Christians, as we go out into the world and as we're giving a testimony, that we make people think that as Christians we don't have struggles, that as Christians we don't face hardships, that as Christians we don't all have it all together. And we paint this picture that if people just come to Jesus, then suddenly all their problems will go away. And it's a lie. And we're twisting the truth, because we see the Bible tells us that the Christians go through tribulation. Christians go through difficult times. Christians battle with things as well. And we have to be genuine when we speak about the Word of God, when we speak about truth. And so that people can see that we're not hypocrites, but that we're walking in the light. Therefore, we're walking with God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen to that, Pastor. You know, one of the greatest things that I enjoy about the Bible is how some of these men of God address things. And Pastor Javer was just reading that verse 5. Says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. Here, our brother John has something more than a vision. He has a concrete word from the Savior of the world. And that is greater than anything else. And even though visions and dreams can be good, however, a personal experience is much better. Because when you have a personal experience, you're not getting an idea or an opinion, you're getting the facts. And what I mean by that is all of us have dreams and visions in the past. And some of those dreams and visions mean nothing. And one of the things that my brother Javer spoke about is the things that people withhold from saying in order to please others. But we see that the message of the gospel is not something that's meant to be pleasing for people. It's meant to bring the truth. And like he said, the truth hurts and the truth convicts. And we're not here to please everybody. We're here to say and please our God. Brother Javer also spoke about the light. And I'm going to get a little bit into this because this is very important. And I want to start reading the book of Genesis chapter 1. And this is what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, understand that in the beginning of this verse, it uses the word without form and void. And Brother Javer made a great analogy, and he says there is no other planet that has life. Because in order for there to be life, there needs to be light. Light is the producer, or what produces life. We need light in order to live. And every single thing on the earth needs light in order to live. And therefore, creation started, and the first thing that God did was what it says on verse 3. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. In other words, the Holy Spirit moved upon over the earth, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. From that moment that the light entered the earth, creation started. And it's the same thing that happens to us, brothers and sisters. And that's why there's a contrast between light and darkness. Human beings cannot live in darkness. Darkness will cause us to fail and end up in destruction. Light is the relationship between man and God. Light is what brings life into our spirit. It's what brings life into our body. It's what makes the impossibilities possibilities. Light is what energizes our bodies. Light is what, like Brother Javer says, brings the fruits of our lives. You know, one of the things that I enjoy, and my brothers here enjoy too, is to be able to see, you know, the mango tree that I have behind my home. And, you know, I wait till the summer comes so that I could see how the light or the sun, when it comes on that tree, allows those mangoes to ripen. And the same thing that happens to us when we come to Jesus. When we come to Jesus, He is our light, and He ripens us. He prepares us. He guides us. And everybody that without the light or without Jesus is at one point or another heading for destruction.
And in verse 6, it says, if we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Not only does John say that if we claim to have fellowship with God, but yet we're walking in darkness, which is in fact the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness. He says, not only do we lie, but he says we do not practice the truth. And that's something that's important, because truth is meant to be practiced. One of the things in my life is that I had to repent is I was always a person that was seeking after knowledge. But the truth is that knowledge is worthless unless you apply it. When the Bible says, and my people perish for lack of knowledge, it's not just knowing, it's not just receiving the knowledge, but putting that knowledge to practice, putting that truth to practice. See, you can sit down in a church, sermon after sermon, hear the deepest truths that the Bible has, but if you don't have a yearning to practice it, to live it out, then it's worthless to you. And all it's going to do is, in fact, bring you under more condemnation, because you heard the truth. You knew what was right, and you chose not to do it. See, we are to live a life of truth, to practice truth. The Bible shows us that God desires truth in the inward parts. He desires for us to walk in truth. In fact, one of the things about Jesus is not only is He the light, but He's also the truth. And truth is very similar to light. When somebody comes to a revelation of something, they say, oh, I've seen the light. I've seen the light. I've seen the truth. And because that's a metaphor of truth, because it dispels lies. That's what lies are. Lies are darkness. If you're walking in lies, you're walking in darkness. This world is filled with darkness because it's filled with lies, because it's a false idea. It's a false illusion. It's an illusion of what reality truly is. It's not real. And he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Look at what John says here. And I think that this is something that is often not given enough attention to. And he says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Notice he doesn't say, okay, well, if you walk in the light, obviously from the verses before, you have fellowship with God. But then the next thing he goes on to point, and he connects that with the next point, is having fellowship one with another. See, whenever a Christian starts to backslide, not only is his relationship with God affected, but also relationship with other Christians, because a person that is not right in their heart, being around other people who are maybe on fire for God, will bring conviction into his heart, will make him feel uncomfortable, and that person will tend to retire from that, to get away from that. And the Bible gives so much importance on the fellowship of the saints, and that word fellowship is such a powerful word, the word koinonia, the word that is translated communion, that both has that word the beginning, which is kam, which means together, and that word union, which also means to be brought in united as one. And we look at the body, we look at how the body is jointly fit together, and how everything, if there's something that's out of place, the body is not functioning the way that it does. And we see that one of the signs that a Christian is right with God is that he's also in fellowship with other Christians. And not just that, you know, you say hello into church, but fellowship is much deeper than that. It's about partaking. It's about partaking of the communion. It's about being involved in one another's lives. And it doesn't have to be with a large group, but it's so integral to be in fellowship. And then he says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But notice what where John connects this to. He says he connects to receiving cleansing from all sin if you walk in the light. If you walk in the light, that means that if you're a person that's walking in darkness, if you're a person who claims to have Christ and you're not walking in fellowship with God, could this mean that perhaps the sins that you're committing are not being cleansed? I'm not about to make that statement, but we see how John connects fellowship with God with also receiving cleansing and forgiveness. And it shows us that what God is calling us into is not to say a prayer and accept Jesus into your heart. It's about a relationship. He's calling us into communion with him, into intimacy. And in fact, one of the things that Jesus Christ says, he says the branch that doesn't bear fruit will be cut off and cast out. And we see that the branch being connected to the tree is a symbol of fellowship. It's a symbol of being connected to God. It's a symbol of walking in the light. And as we are in fellowship with him, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Not just some sins, but all sins. And this is imperative, brothers and sisters, for us to believe and have faith that Jesus Christ has cleansed us, has forgiven us from all of our sins. Because so many Christians walk today filled with guilt, filled with shame, filled with regret. And though there may be so many things that we wish we can change of the past, it's important for us to understand that we are forgiven through Christ Jesus, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the devil will use our past. He's the accuser. That's the way that the accuser works. That's the way that the prosecutor works. He tries to dig up everything from your past and use it against you, to destroy your character, to destroy your life. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. But he's not calling us in just to say a prayer. He's calling us in to deep relationship.
Have you been in a dark room and trying to find the door? It's something impossible for us to do without light. In the book of John 8:31, the Bible says this, to the Jews who have believed in him, and thus talking about Jesus, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Pastor Javer said that light represents truth. Therefore, Jesus Christ is our truth. His word is the truth. And he is the true light that came into the world, who brought salvation to humanity. Now, he spoke about darkness. There's somebody else in this world, and the Bible says that he is Satan. And the Bible says that he is a deceiver, a master of lies and deception. And his purpose is to lead you from the light, from the truth of the word. And it's sad to say, my brothers and sisters, that a lot of the word that's being preached today is not the truth. People have compromised for money. People have compromised in order to hold people in their churches. And people have compromised for fame and other things. That's why in this verse that Pastor Jaber spoke about, it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, in other words, walk in lie and deceptions, we lie and do not live by the truth. There must be a change in the life of a Christian man and a Christian woman. We cannot, like the pastor says, compromise the word of God for people, fame, money, or anything else. Because the light or the truth is what's going to set us free from bondage and from destruction.
Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. First of all, what is sin? What is sin? In fact, John, the same apostle John in the same book, defines what is sin in 1 John 3:4. He says, whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is breaking God's law. It is breaking his commandments. It is also knowing what is right and not doing it. James 4:17 tells us, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Okay? And sin is also being faithless. Look what Paul says in Romans 14:23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. And this pretty much places every single individual under condemnation. Why? Because first and foremost, we've all broken God's law. We've all transgressed at least one, if not all, the commandments of God. We've broken them. We've done it consciously and unconsciously. Not only have we broken God's law, but we also, knowing what is right, have many times not done it. There's many times where we had the opportunity to do what we knew was right and we chose not to do it. Not only is sin, is there sins of commission, but there's also sins of omission. And not only if there's sins of commission and omission, but there's sins of unbelief. And that's precisely why Jesus Christ had to come. Because the Bible shows us that all humanity was condemned. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. No man in this world can say that they are without any sin. In fact, that's one of the great deceptions that we're seeing today. We're seeing a redefinition of what sin is. And we're downplaying the fact of that God hates sin. It only took one sin of disobedience in the Garden of Eden. It only took eating a fruit which God had said not to eat to bring us into the mess that we're in today. How can we not take sin seriously in our lives? How can we live like sin is not important to God? It is very important. It is a transgression of his law, of his righteous law. The law is righteous. The law of God is righteous. The problem of humanity is not God's law. It's that we cannot be conformed to it because we're sinners. And that's why he says if we say that we don't have any sin, we lie. Because we inherit sin. Sin is part of our flesh, part of our human bodies. In fact, look at what David says. Psalm 51:5, he says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." He's saying that when he was born, sin was already inside of him. That's why, as a child, no one has to teach you to curse. No one has to teach you to be selfish. No one has to teach you to be mean. These are things that grow up naturally out of a child because sin is inside of us. We have to be taught to do right. We have to be taught to do good because evil is already present in us because we have inherited it from our father Adam. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we see when a person, in order for a person to be able to come to Jesus, they need to acknowledge and understand that they're a sinner. Because without understanding the fact that sin is in us, the fact that sin has separated us from God, the fact that God is a just God and will punish sin, it will not allow us to truly see the beauty of the gospel, to see the depth and the sacrifice of the Son of God. And that's why the message is so important, because sin, God's attitude towards sin is so important, and coming to understand why he did what he did through Jesus Christ. And the fact that sin is not preached very often is a problem. It's a big problem. It's a huge problem. Because it takes away from the fundamental reason why Christ came to save the world. He didn't come to save the world just to come and build a utopia, just so that we wouldn't suffer, but that sin is the one that brought suffering into this world. Sin is what brought death. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. He came to destroy sin. And one of the things about being born again is that we're born to overcome. We're born to conquer. And what is that that we're born to conquer and to overcome? It's not just the devil. It's not just the world, but it's sin. Sin that is inside our minds and our bodies that desires to do that which is wrong. Jesus came to destroy that, to save us from that, and to give us power through the Holy Spirit to overcome. And that's why it's such an integral message. And we see that John, early on in the first chapter, starts getting into the importance of understanding that without understanding that we're sinners, we don't have the ability to accept the truth. Because he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, there's many different types of deception. There's deceptions that come from the world, philosophies, and which ultimately are originate in Satan. But we also have the ability to deceive ourselves, to make ourselves believe that we are better than what we are. And in fact, this is one of the products of humanism that we're seeing in this world, that people care more about having their self-esteem being lifted up, their self-value and all these things. When in reality, what we need is to be saved from that sin of pride and selfishness that makes us focus on ourselves rather than on God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So that's one of the ways that we walk in darkness. It's not only the deception in the world, but it's the self-deception when we justify ourselves. We shouldn't justify ourselves. In fact, the next verse, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We should not make excuses for why we did what we did. We should accept and confess that we have sinned. Confession is such an important part of Christian, and we don't confess it to other men. We confess it to God. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there's a confession that is required. God needs to see that we acknowledge that what we did was wrong, that we broke His law, that we sinned against Him, against a holy God. And all he's asking is for us to confess it. And notice what he says. He's faithful. But not only faithful, but just to forgive our sins. And this is what I find so amazing, is that God finds it just to forgive us. That even though we did something wrong, even though we committed an offense to us, when we confess our sins, he considers it justice to forgive us. And how is it? How is it possible that if we did something wrong, we broke his law, and we confess our sin, he is justified in doing so? And the way that he's justified in doing so is because Jesus tipped the scales of justice during the cross of Calvary, when the punishment of our sin was placed upon him, so that when we come to God and we confess our sin and we ask him for forgiveness, he looks at the cross and he says, your sin has been paid for. Not only is he willing, is he desiring to forgive, but he has to, because he says this is what justice is. What is justice? Justice is righteousness. And God is just. That's part of his character. He's just. And he shows us that when we come on the basis of the cross, because of what Christ did, because of the finished work, he sees that the sin that we committed has already been paid for. We cannot suffer, be proclaimed guilty before him, if Jesus Christ already paid for it. And here's just a little thing. He's just to forgive us our sins. And this is something that we often don't give too much thought, but it is something that is so deep and so powerful with regards to the meaning of what happened on the cross, that God considers it justice, that even though we committed sin, but if we confess it, we repent, we admit that what we did was wrong, and we come to him for forgiveness, he is faithful to forgive and just to forgive.
Amen. One of the things that God did, he gave us his laws and wrote it in stone, and now we have it here in his word. Now, Pastor Javer spoke about some of the consequences that happen to us when we break these laws, but I want to give you a scripture so you have an understanding of what we're talking about here. And this is found in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17. And this is what the word of God says. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So what is sin? Sin is rejecting God's plan and God's purpose. It is no different than breaking a law. If you take a stop sign, there's a penalty for that. If you kill somebody, you're going to do some prison time, perhaps spend your life in prison. If you take drugs, there's a consequence for that. And there's also consequences when we reject or disobey God's plans or his laws. Therefore, that is what we have today, a fallen world, because people have chosen to reject God's law. And why is this happening, brothers and sisters? Because the devil did it. Pride will keep you from fulfilling God's law. And that's what happened with Satan. And one of the things that a lot of us struggle with is asking for forgiveness. And we could see it when God went to Adam and said, listen, and I'm just paraphrasing this, what did you do what I told you not to do? What did you break my law? Well, it wasn't me. The woman made me do it. And isn't this what we all are doing? In one way or another, we're trying to blame somebody else for our mistakes. I did this because this guy told me to do it, or I did this because somebody lured me to do this. But here, what God wants from us is repentance. And he wants us to turn and change and acknowledge that we made a mistake. Listen, every time that we made a mistake in traffic or anything else, if we were able to stand before a judge and say, Judge, you know, I asked for forgiveness. I made a mistake. And the judge would let us off. That would be great. But listen, the Savior of this world, God, came to earth to save you, to give you freedom from punishment, from destruction. And what I can't understand and I wrestle with is how somebody can reject this gift. Reject it even though you know that when you look at the laws of God, there's no way that you could meet any of them. Because I cannot meet them myself. And that's why I need Jesus. Every single one of us are imperfect individuals. And that's why we need a Savior. And it's sad to say that, you know, people will turn them down. And yet wonder why they're still in bondage.
Amen. And tonight you can actually cry out to this Savior, no matter what it is that you're experiencing today. Because there is consequences that sin leaves in our lives. There's events that may happen from sin. But you have the ability to receive forgiveness tonight by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever will believes should not perish but have everlasting life." If tonight you can believe on him, you can receive this salvation. You can begin to walk with him. You can cry out to him. You can say, "Father, I come before you tonight and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I confess that I am a sinner and I ask you to forgive me tonight. I believe in your Son, Jesus. I believe that he paid for my sins on the cross. I believe that he died and he was buried and he resurrected on the third day. And I believe that you have the power to change and transform me and to save me from sin. And tonight I ask you that you will save me, that you will put your Holy Spirit in me, and that I will begin to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen." We thank you for listening tonight. We invite you to contact us by either writing to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or contacting us at 305-320-7727. We ask that the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power. And the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
In the wedding party. a bride of Christ and write my name in the book of life that you read from the throne. You will remain the only light that will lead me home. I look within and find only darkness. May you be the light I need. Lord, give me sight, give me holy vision. Only through you. In the book of life that you read from the throne, you will remain the only light that will lead me home. And write my name in the book of life. Thank you.